رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. All praise due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to his companions and everyone who follows them on their righteous path until the day of judgment, and anyone who follows them, on their righteous path until the day of judgment. As to what follows, to proceed, verily the most truthful speech is the Quran, the book of Allah. And the best way of life, guidance, and example to be followed is that of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the worst of affairs are the ones that we introduce into this deen of ours, because every newly introduced matter is an innovation, and every innovation will lead astray, and whatever is astray will be going to the hellfire. Brothers and sisters in Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in an authentic narration, "Man kana yu'min بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت." Whosoever believes in Allah and the last day, let him say that which is good, or let him remain silent. This particular narration has tremendous lessons and benefits which we need to reflect on, beginning with myself and moving on to you. I will attempt, inshallah, to discuss some of the benefits in this particular hadith and the practical application in our lives. First and foremost, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam began by saying, "Whoever believes in Allah and the last day." And you will find that very often in the Quran and the Sunnah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will bring a relation between the belief in Allah Himself and the last day. And you may wonder why. The scholars say the reason why, because when if someone does not believe in the last day, then they will not work. If someone did not believe in accountability, if they did not believe in reckoning, if they did not believe in being judged and brought to account, then they will not work. This is similar to someone who knows that there are no tickets for speeding violations, running red lights, making a right turn in a place where you're not supposed to, skipping the stop sign, what have you. If we knew for a fact that there was no consequence for violation, 99% of the people will drive in a fashion where they will violate these rules, because they know that there will be no accountability. However, when we know that if we run this red light, or if we skip the stop sign, or if we violate anything, there's a policeman who may catch us and give us a ticket, which will require us to get a point on our driving record, which will increase the insurance, and then you'll have to pay the fine, and it's a list of things, then we become much more careful. Why? Human nature. This is human nature. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, having created us in this fashion, He gave us a day to look forward to. That day is one of the main reasons why we actually strive in worshipping Allah and avoid disobeying Him as much as possible. Because we believe in the Yawm al-Akhir, the last day. Meaning, whatever we do, there shall come a day where we will be brought to account and become responsible for these actions of ours. Or for these actions of ours. So you read, for example, in the Quran, Allah saying, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. Verily, you have in the Messenger of Allah the best example for the one who hopes to meet Allah and the last day. And many other ayat, Allah Azza wa Jal will mention, لِمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ, for the one who believes in Allah and the last day. Similarly, in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you find this relation being, you find this relation existing because of this idea that part of your belief in Allah is the belief that Allah has assigned and designated a day on which human beings will be brought to account, they will be reckoned for their deeds, and then those who have earned paradise will enter paradise, and those who have earned the hellfire will enter the hellfire. Believing in that affects our behavior. The lesser and the weaker our belief in that, the more careless and negligent we will become in our behavior. So you will find that they are proportional. This is why the Sahaba and those who came after them, they were so conscious of the last day, they were so ready for death, that they were mindful of Allah way more than we can ever be today. Because we have all these worldly temptations preventing us from contemplating and reflecting on this last day. And so we become overoccupied with our worldly pleasures, and in the process we disobey Allah Azza wa Jalla a lot more, and we don't obey Him as much as they did. So this introduction is important, because what comes afterwards is very much founded on this introduction. How much do we believe in Allah on the last day? And depending on our belief, we will see how, to what extent we will act upon the rest of the narration. مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. Whosoever believes in Allah and the last day, let him say that which is good or remain silent. Be quiet. Zip it. In other words, or if we were to rephrase it. Now, this issue is heart-aching, wallahi. يعني, if you're involved in da'wah, this firsthand, you get to experience this firsthand, and wallahi, among the most agonizing, disheartening, traumatizing, aspects or consequences of da'wah is coming across this type of people who, unfortunately, they often say that which they are supposed to remain silent concerning. They have nothing good to say. I'll give you an example. I gave a lecture in a recent event to around, we could maybe say 200 to 300 new Muslims. 200 to 300 new Muslims. And the topic was misconception about Islam. In fact, I was actually repeating to them what we are doing on our Friday class. And I would tell them, you guys mentioned the misconception, and then I will, you know, we'll try to tackle it together and find some answers for it. And after I finished this long lecture, not because I wanted to remain, because the brothers themselves were not satisfied. The new Muslims are hungry. They're hungry for knowledge. They want to learn how to defend their religion. They want to learn how to defend their Islam, which they have to face the rest of the people, their community, their society, their parents with. And very often these other things I mentioned will attack them and bring to them, you know, doubts about their Islam. And they need to be fortified. They need to be, you know, armed to the teeth with knowledge concerning these misconceptions and how to adequately answer them. So the lecture is supposed to be usually an hour. It took longer because the brothers didn't want to stop. And eventually the people are organizing the thing, said, listen man, you know, khalas, you need to stop. And I don't mind. I said, fine. They turn off the mic and the brothers move to the table and they're still asking and still asking and still asking. And I had to basically, squeeze myself out. I had to run for my life just so I can leave this area in order to go where I'm supposed to be. And when I went to the place where I'm supposed to be, mind you, they have speakers the speakers which are attached or to the microphone I was using are actually in this other location. So even though I'm addressing people in one hall, other people in another hall are able to hear me because of the sound system. So they're not there physically, but they can hear my lecture. And as soon as I come in, what are you supposed to do as a Muslim? As a Muslim, you're supposed to say to the person, not just me, anyone, Jazakallahu khayran, Barakallahu feek, Zadakallahu ilman wa hirsan. May Allah reward you with goodness. May Allah bless you abundantly. May Allah increase you in knowledge and in keenness on conveying this deen. Anything good to also support this person giving da'wah. But that's not what I got. Which is fine. I don't care. I'm sad about the event taking place. Not sad that it took place with me. The fact that it took place is saddening for anyone involved in da'wah. The first thing I was said to me, Akhi, this was so long, I was about to go there and turn off the mic myself. Jazakallah khair. That's the first thing I had to say. Malish, brother. I apologize for taking long. But the brothers didn't want to stop. They are the audience. They are requesting more. Is that something to say? Huh? I was going to go there, turn off the mic myself. The other one, after the first one finished, said, no problem. Huh? We'll swallow that one for you, brother. John, no problem. The next one said, well, brother, the example you gave us about DNA is weak, very horrible. We were dealing about, polygyny. Remember, we said there's a difference between polygamy and polygyny, but that's besides the point. And I was telling them why a woman cannot have four husbands, because if she became pregnant, we will not know who the father is, and the only way we could know is through resemblance. Okay, he looks like this guy. And we said that doesn't work because babies change, their features change. Then the other option we said is DNA. They say DNA. We say DNA is not reliable, because first, it is a recent discovery, and Islam is not something recent. It has applied all throughout the times, and it will apply until the end of time. And secondly, nurses make mistakes. Maybe they will put the wrong file for the wrong, patient, whatever. They said, brother, that's weak. Weak. Don't use this again. Fine. I am standing before a group of other people. Is it wise and advisable to advise me in this fashion, outwardly in front of everyone, or are you supposed to take me on the side and tell me, chit chat chat, whatever? The truth of the matter is, all I did was get scolded and undermined. Alhamdulillah, for the sake of Allah, we ask Allah to reward me with goodness. I'm not looking for the people's reward. The reward is with Allah. But the idea is, that is what I got in return. And I thought of this hadith, subhanAllah. By the way, a brother proposed this topic today. It wasn't my own proposition. A brother proposed that I discuss this, and I said, subhanAllah, look at the connection. Because I thought of that hadith then. I said, subhanAllah. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever believes in Allah on that day, let him say something good, or remain silent. Ya akhi, either say something good, or don't say anything. Because this has collateral damage. Now, human beings are sensitive. Even a da'i. Some people think that if someone involved in da'wah, that means that they're they are insensitive, or they don't have any feelings, or they don't have any emotions. No, not at all. The Prophet ﷺ almost killed himself. He almost died because of sadness when his people rejected the da'wah. لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِلَّمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. As Allah told him in Surah Al-Kahf, perhaps you will kill yourself and grieve over them if they don't believe in the speech. The Prophet ﷺ used to be sad when the people, we have feelings. Muslims have feelings, those involved in da'wah and those who are not. So we need to either say something good, or we need to remain silent. That is for the one who believes in Allah on the last day, because someone else may say, you know what? This is the result I'm going to get. I'm not going to give da'wah anymore. If after all the effort I make, people are going to come and criticize and put me down and what have you, degrade me, I don't want to give da'wah anymore. And many people will actually give up da'wah because of some people who do not act upon the sunnah, who do not have anything good to say, so they say nothing but evil. So brothers and sisters in Islam, we need to apply this in our lives. And I begin with myself. I'm not saying that I'm free from that. We all fall into that one way or another. But we all need to, you know, we all need to recognize that this is a deficiency in us, and that we need to slow down. Think before you speak. Is this good? If it's good, I'll say it. If it's not, maybe it's better that I remain silent. And we need to think before we speak. Now, do not misunderstand the following. This is one extreme, okay? People who say something bad when there's nothing bad to be said. Yani, when they're supposed to say something good, they leave alone the good and they say something bad instead. That's one extreme. The other extreme is when some evil needs to be addressed, when some evil needs to be forbidden, when some wrongdoing has to be commented on, some people don't say anything thinking that they're applying this hadith. And this is another incorrect understanding. Look, when someone who is calling to deviance, when someone who is misguided, when someone who is misleading the Muslims, and we're not speaking about someone with mistakes, because we all have mistakes, we're speaking about someone who's known to be deviant, misguided, and is not someone you can learn Islam from, because learning Islam from them means you're learning another Islam other than that of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is evil. And in this case, the hadith application becomes, whoever believes in Allah and the last day, let him say something good. Good here is stopping that evil. Good here is warning. Good here is bringing to the people's attention that such individual, may Allah forgive us and forgive him, is not someone you can learn Islam from. So al-khayr, saying something good, is not conditional to saying positive things, as in praising. Khayr is anything which is good. And the principle in Islam is among the best things that we do is enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. Pay attention. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. You were the best nation ever sent out, ever produced to people. Why? You enjoin what is right and you forbid what is wrong, and you believe in Allah. What made us the best nation? Not only enjoining the good, also forbidding the evil. Even Luqman said to his son, Ya bunayya aqim as-salata wa'mur bil-ma'ruf wanha 'anil munkar wasbir 'ala ma asabak. O my son, establish the salah, enjoin what is good and forbid what is evil. So forbidding evil, speaking against evil, is a requirement. And it is not part of the let him be silent, rather it is part of let him say that which is good. Because some people may listen to me and then, you know, they go check out some other things, say, hey, you know, you said this about this thing, and you said this website is not reliable, and that's not good. And you're saying in your lecture that either say something good or be quiet. Say, no, Habibi. In this context, the good is to let you know that this source is not reliable. Because that's part of the trust which Allah has, you know, Allah Azza wa Jalla has assigned to the people who have involved in da'wah. Because people refer to them, and you have to, it's Allah's right. It is not about, you know, emotionalism, it is not about tribalism, it is not about love, it's about the deen of Allah being preserved and protected. Yes, we follow moderation, we're not some crazy lunatics who warn against everything and everyone, and you know, we're not on that tip. At least speaking about myself. But there are things which need to be addressed. Right? There's a wasatiyya. There's a middle course that we need to be upon. You cannot be super lenient, you cannot be super stern and tough. Because either way is against the sunnah. Either way is against the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so we need to stick to the sunnah in this particular regard. So, there are times, and nowadays there are many, when you see evil, you need to address it, because this is part of saying good. This is part of saying good. So do not become nonchalant. Don't be passive. Don't be passive. Today we receive so many emails, and this Facebook, if they can bring me a Facebook in the form of a snake, and I can just squeeze its neck and choke it to death, I'll be a very satisfied person. But I can't do it, because this thing is huge. Not even a snake, man. Even if I try to kill it with all my powers, I will fail. I use it for da'wah. And wallahi, had it not been for da'wah, I would have divorced it thrice. I would have divorced this Facebook thrice, a divorce to which I will never return. Marriage to which I will never return. I'll be on two, living in two separate countries, two separate planets. I will not even live on the same planet with this Facebook. But it's the da'wah which makes us get involved. It's because Muslims need to know the truth. And if you open the door for every Tom, Dick and Harry to come on Facebook and give you fatawa, then the Muslim Ummah will be lost, because half of the Ummah is on Facebook. So it becomes required to get in there and put an end to this nonsense. And every day, every time I get on Facebook, predominantly I'm trying to set things right. I'm trying to stop people from simply giving fatawa. Ya akhi, don't give fatwa. Don't. Say something good or remain silent. You do not have the qualifications to be giving fatwa. You do not have, it's not opinion. I think, I think. You get in one post, somebody posts one comment, two lines, and you get as comments 15 fatwa. 15 fatwa for each individual, what he knows of the deen, the hadith he has memorized, and half of the ayah, and based on this half ayah and one hadith, khalas, he understands Islam, take it from me. So they give you their boom, boom, boom. And then when you try to speak, when you try to say something, say, brother man, you make life difficult. Brother, either say something good or be quiet. No, Habibi, no, I cannot. I cannot see evil and remain silent. I must address this evil. This is Allah's right. That His deen is not taken lightly. His deen is not treated carelessly. And we cannot let anyone come and hijack Islam and speak on its behalf and misguide the thousands of people that come across this nonsense. Yani, the most recent example, some supposedly 6 years ago. Now look at this crazy stuff. Six years ago, now it's surfacing, a French girl from some, I don't know what origin, who's French citizen, shaved her head as means of opposing the ban of the headscarf. She's trying to retaliate and act upon or act against the ban of the hijab. So what does she do? Okay, you say, okay, you don't want me to put on a hijab, and Allah doesn't want me to show my hair, I will shave my head. And now, I'm somewhere in between. And people post this, and they say, MashaAllah, we need more like her in this ummah. May Allah give her more than, may Allah, ya Sheikh, ya Akhi, ittaqillah. What is this nonsense, ya Habibi? Ya Habibi, what are you doing to the Muslim? You know how many ladies who do not have the right knowledge, they will entertain this idea, and next thing you know, you'll have a riot. You'll have a demonstration of bold Muslim sisters. Is it allowed in Islam for women to shave her head? No! It's haram. Haram for a woman to shave her head. Haram in our deen. So how are we going to do something haram to justify the means? The means justifying the ends, it doesn't work in Islam. And aren't you supposed to cover your ears? Sisters in Islam, by Allah, based on the knowledge which you have, are you supposed to cover your ears as part of the hijab or no? I want you to answer. And please, monitors, allow them to type. Beautiful. All of us on the same understanding. The picture of the sister, now mind you, the picture of the sister, the picture of the sister is a bald head sister. You can see her neck and her ears. Is that hijab? Is that hijab? So now they're stuck. Said, oh, but, ya akhi, Allah wants her to cover more than the hair. Even assuming, let's say a woman has some disease and her hair fell. Can we tell her to go out in the street? Go out in the street with no hijab? Let everybody see your ear and your neck. Why? Oh, I don't have hair. And hijab is covering the hair. No, it doesn't work this way. That's not the deen of Allah. The deen of Allah is that you cover your neck and you cover your ears, not just your hair. So this, you know, then the fatwa came, and the people are commending her and encouraging her and happy with her, and you come and say, listen, this is no good. And everybody now starts giving fatwa. Wallah, brother, I think this is an exception to the rule. If you look, think about it, maybe because blah, 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 blah. And the next person says, no, blah, 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 brother, you don't know what you're talking about. This sister is strong, this is taqwa, this is the fear of Allah in her. Ya Shaykh al-Islam, ya Hajj, Allahu Akbar. Ya Jama'at al-Khair, if you don't have knowledge, close it. It is not what I think and what you think and what appears to be right and what sounds cool. Either you have knowledge or you don't. Alhamdulillah, the person who put up this post, after going back and forth with him, he, mashallah, realized that he was wrong. One of the very few people who actually reached that stage. And I loved him for the sake of Allah. You have no idea. I was about to eat him. For one of many, many rare cases where someone says, Akhi, I didn't realize what I have said. And I didn't look at it from this other perspective. I stand corrected. I am wrong. And he returned to the truth. He admitted his shortcomings. And that the fact that he had a misconception or short-sighted understanding of the matter. Jazahullahu khayran. He is one of many rare cases. He is one of many. Most people will not. And this is from my experience. They will continue to fight and argue, and they will insist on their views, and they will not change. And this, here, for them, it falls under either say something that is good or be quiet, and for you, that good is that you speak against it. So we need to play the role of the person that speaks against the evil, and tries to stop it, so that we will be applying the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, say that which is good, and we never want to be part of those who say that which they're not supposed to say. Al-ilmu qabla al-qawli wal-amal. Allahu Akbar. Bukhari has a chapter in his Sahih, you know, a chapter entitled the chapter of knowledge before statements or actions. Before you speak, you must know. Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا عَلَىٰ بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. Say, meaning to the Prophet ﷺ, say, this is my path, I call to Allah upon insight, upon sure knowledge, I and those who follow me. Anyone who follows the Prophet ﷺ must have knowledge of the matters he is calling to. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, please, please, please apply the following statement. The proverb in Arabic says, As-salamatu la ya'diluha shay'. Safety is not equated with anything. Safety is not equated with anything. Meaning there's nothing as good as safety. The best thing to do is be safe. This Facebook and the YouTube uploads and videos which you have, and the emails which you forward to the people, and anything which you do, either make sure that it is sound, correct, and pleasing to Allah, or remain safe and leave it alone. Don't get involved in that which is not of your business. Let us know our limitations. The best quality in a Muslim is knowing his limitations. رحم الله امرئ عرف قدر نفسه. May Allah have mercy on a person who knows his own limitations. I know that I can swim only up to 2 meters. I don't go diving in the middle of the ocean and say, inshallah, maybe some dolphin will come from nowhere and he will carry me to the shore. Or maybe one of these big bird dinosaurs, you know, dinosaur birds which used to live in the past, will somehow emerge from the sky and he will come and pick me up from the surface of the ocean. Or maybe somehow some people will be surfing and they will come across me and they will put me on the boogie board. Or maybe... No! Stop! Don't be throwing all these possibilities and you know, what have you. Look man, if you swim, if you only swim in the surface, akhi, just stay in the surface. Stay in the shallow area. You have 2 meters, stay within the 2 meters. Don't get philosophical, think this and that. When we know our limits, you will not drown. When the shaitans are telling you, well, you'll figure it out. No, you'll manage, no problem. Yalla, go ahead, then you will drown. The problem is that now, the issue I'm speaking about does not entail your drowning. You'll be drowning other people with you. You're not drowning on your own. You go in there and you bring the people down with you, because this information you're not keeping to yourself. You're not giving the fatwa to yourself. No, no, no. If these people are giving the fatwa to themselves, that's half a problem. That's their business. But this fatwa, these fatwa are being broadcasted. They're being circulated among thousands of Muslims. You're drowning all these people with you. I mean, don't put anything. If you have nothing to post, don't post anything. Not every time you see a video of a nasheed, you put up a nasheed. Nasheed turns out to have music in the background and people singing like the, you know, like the, whatchamacallit, these old, all these classical singers, you know, the, I don't even remember the names, alhamdulillah. I say, akhi, what is this, brother Nasheed? Brother, look at the message. Do you hear the message, brother? Did you hear the message? Said, brother, all I hear is Nasheed, brother. I hear singing. Not Nasheed, the halal Nasheed. All I hear is a man singing with music in the background. Singing. He's not reciting poetry, which is what Nasheed is. He's freaking thick lip and acting. And what message are you trying to deliver to the people? We don't need this video. You don't need it, I don't need it, the Muslims don't need it, they don't need it. Put something beneficial, put a lecture, put a PowerPoint presentation with slides, with no music in the background. Barakallahu feek. Barakallahu feek wa feeki. But every time, you know, boom, you think the Qasam becomes so much, yalla. No. No. The calamities on Facebook and on YouTube and elsewhere are too many to enumerate. And all of them are based on the lack of application of this hadith. If we believed in Allah on the last day, if we truly knew that we would be held accountable, believe me, we will only post that which will get us closer to Allah. Anything which is haram, needless to say, we will not post it. Anything doubtful, we will leave it alone. Even the doubtful, we will leave it alone. Why? Because we believe in Allah on the last day. And the Prophet ﷺ said, if you believe in Allah on the last day, say something which is good, or don't say anything. Post something which is good, or don't post anything. Reply with something which is good, or don't reply at all. We need to realize these things as much as we can, inshallah. Let's take it as a covenant upon ourselves to be very, very technical and sensitive and delicate and fragile when we deal with the information we would like to share with the Muslims. If we think something is good and it may have some evil, ask the people who know. Ask the people of knowledge. Allah made it obligatory to ask him. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge. If you don't know, ask. Akhi, is this okay? Sister, in Islam, the knowledgeable sister, is this okay? When they give you the go signal, عَلَطُول. Until they give you the go signal, keep it at home. Keep it with you. You don't want to worry about, you don't want to mention a weak narration, a fabricated narration, which every scholar knows is fabricated. Not a hadith which is differed upon. Let's say it's differed upon, ma fi mushkila. A hadith which is known to be mawdu', and you share it with someone, and this someone acts upon it, then they teach it to their children, then you know it goes on for generations, generations and generations. All of this will be in your book of evil deeds, because you are the service provider of this fabricated narration which constitutes a lie against the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The matter is not light at all. This is why the ulama, if you look at the scholars of the old days, you will see why they were so special. Imam Malik, people came to him from Morocco, from Maghrib, all the way to Medina. A travel of around a month. a whole month traveling on camels and donkeys and horses all the way from Maghrib to Medina to ask Imam Malik questions. And you know what Imam Malik said? I don't know. They said, "Ya Imam, you are the Imam of Medina. You don't know. How are we going to go back to the people after traveling 1 month going and 1 month returning?" And tell them, he said, tell them, Imam Malik said, he doesn't know. What do you want me to do? If I don't know, you want me to fabricate information for you? Do you want me to invent something for you? Is the deen of Allah a joke? So when I just come up with, no, they understood this limitation. They realized the seriousness of what they were involved in. And we need to develop this kind of sensitivity at least to some extent. To some extent. When you don't know, you don't know. Say, I don't know. The problem is not only we say we don't know, not only that someone asks us and we say we don't know. No, we don't know and we want to teach people what we don't know. We lack knowledge and we say, come on, let me show you what I don't know. So here, yalla, this video and this post, and this note and this document. And it's the other way around. And we want to be like the righteous predecessors. We wonder what happened to the Muslims. Why are we suffering? We're suffering because of our actions. Our negligence. So I hope inshaAllah ta'ala, Allah will grant us the success to develop the sensitivity and to play it safe. Play it safe. If you know it and you're sure of it, then share it. If you don't, keep it to yourself. In every aspect of life, wallahi, you'll have a peace of mind. At least you don't have to worry about the people that you may have misguided. At least you can relax and chill. Say, okay, I didn't do anything good, but I didn't do anything bad. And that's one level. However, we need to strive and try to be, like the Prophet ﷺ said, say that which is good. If you see something evil, change it with your hand. Get involved. Rectify the condition of the people. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to give us the ability to do so. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. I have only a couple of minutes for the questions because Salat al-Isha is just around the corner here in Jeddah, KSA. Actually, I have exactly 4 minutes or 5 minutes, so please make it quick. Ooh. Any questions? Bring them on. Yalla, jama'at al-khair. Orale, orale, amigos and amigas. Andale, andale, andale. Do you know Spanish? I know only 5 words. Is covering the face compulsory? That depends on the scholar which you follow. The scholars have differed on this particular issue. So some of them say it's obligatory, some of them say it's simply recommended, and you are not sinful for exposing your face and your hands, provided that you cover adequately the rest of your body. And provided that you don't wear makeup. Now, if you want to know, somebody's shooting here. If you want to know my position, which I believe is according to the Quran and the Sunnah, wallahu alam, the position which I follow, from my understanding of the textual evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah, it is not compulsory for the sister to cover her face, but it is highly recommended in this day and time. Not compulsory, but recommended. Insha'Allah ta'ala, wallahu a'lam. Next question, is it okay to go to Thanksgiving dinner with my sister since I barely ever get to see them? No, it is not okay to go to a Thanksgiving dinner. since you barely get to see them, then you need to make time, because they have the right to be seen by you as means of keeping the kinship ties, but you do not do this during a Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, let me just give you an analogy. If they said that we're going to go swimming, at the beach, and so do you say, okay, I'll go swim with them because that's the only time I get to see them? Because they're not going to stay at the shore. They're going to be in the ocean. And so you will have to swim with them. Now, do you go swim with your bathing suit because, you know, this is the only time? No. This is haram, and that is haram. Thanksgiving is an innovation, and it's a holiday of the disbelievers. You don't get involved, sister. And you try to make other times to meet with them, bi-idhnillah azza wa jal. Wallahu alam. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. After I told my Diyabandi family that we should act upon proper sunnah, they stopped talking to me. What should I do? My mother even stopped talking to me and seeing me that how come you say that Diyabandi are deviant? Well, the approach could have been better. It could have been better. You need to rectify that situation by first apologizing sincerely to your parents and making sure that they, that they speak to you again. And then from there on, you can educate them about the sunnah without directly attacking the Diobandi. Now, ya hana, fear Allah Azza wa Jal. Fear Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Don't be a troublemaker. Now, you often do this. You know, the monitors have the means to give you the boot. So, you know, that's inappropriate for you to say that. I suffer from very severe eating disorder. The only way I manage to control myself is by taking an oath by Allah to not eat trigger foods. I renew this once a month. Is it okay to manage my condition? No, it is not. No, it is not. And the Prophet ﷺ had disliked that a person does this kind of nadhr because it only comes from a stingy person. You know? And this is not the way to get Allah's pleasure Azza wa Jal. So you just, you know, you contain yourself and you act patiently and what have you, but you do not have this kind of nadhr or this kind of oath, which will kind of, put you in this predicament because you may violate it and then you have to offer a kafara, an expiation. So the scholars really dislike the concept of doing this to oneself as means of squeezing goodness out of themselves. Just leave it alone, inshallah, and ask Allah's aid, and Allah Azza wa Jal will aid you with alternatives. No problem, Sister Hannah. We forgive you, inshallah. Just don't do it again. Barakallah feekum. The next question, guys, because I really have to go. Ma'alish. When someone asks you to say the truth, but the truth is not good, is it better to say the truth or to say something good? Like someone gives you a gift and asks you if you like it, but you think it's ugly. Do you say the truth or do you say like it to spare that person's feeling? No, in this particular case, obviously you want to be sensitive about this person's feelings. Now, even though you may think this gift is ugly, you try to find something good in it which you praise. You try to find something good in it which you praise. And you can even, like for example, have a subliminal intention. For example, you think that the size is good. So you say, oh mashallah, wonderful gift. And you mean in your heart, wonderful gift, okay? Why? In order to make sure that this person's feelings are not hurt. Because when someone brings you a gift, you don't want to tell them, oh, what an ugly gift. Ew, come on man, you should know better than this. What is this? I mean, this is, somebody may punch you afterwards and say, listen man, that's the last time I bring you a gift. What a lousy blousy. So you don't do that, inshallah. And you try to say something nice, without lying per se, but you hide an intention and you say something else, inshallah. I hope that answers your question. Right, that's enough for today or for tonight. Zakum la khair, and inshallah, if I remain alive and you too, and my voice does not go away, rather it returns, we will have our class, inshallah, as usual on Friday, Jumu'ah, 4:30 Mecca time. Until then, جزاكم الله خيرا. May Allah protect you, preserve you, and make you among His righteous slaves. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.